Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We're recording on-site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive, and I get to eat it. Here's a humble request to give us a follow on Instagram, at Walk and Talk Show, please, and thank you. All right. Hurricane Helene has hit Appalachia hard, especially in western North Carolina, where severe flooding has caused devastation and claimed at least 180 lives, including over 50 in Buncombe County alone. North Carolina State Climate Office has called it a worst-case scenario for the region, with some areas expecting over 31 inches of rain. We know that happened, eating into rivers, overflowing those rivers, landslides, and people being trapped in their homes. We've been seeing the videos. Emergency officials have described the destruction as biblical. Interesting. Drawing comparisons to Hurricane Katrina, Jeff has some interesting data on that. Rescue efforts continue. Concerns are growing that the death toll could rise further. And unfortunately, I believe that's what's going to happen. And the sheer scale of the damage suggests that the recovery is going to take years, leaving many communities grappling with the aftermath for a long time to come. I mean, this is all a shocking thing to me. You know, we're in Florida, and the reality is we deal with hurricanes always, and this was a different one. This was just different. Florida coastline smashed. Tennessee, North Carolina, parts Georgia. Of Georgia. Yeah. In the midst of this crisis, Walk and Talk media personality and chef Pooch Rivera is in North Carolina, aiding in the relief effort by cooking for those on the front lines, first responders. He and the culinary team are working 18-hour days serving these first responders and military personnel who are tirelessly working to help the affected areas. You know, I've been on the phone with Pooch every day for the past week, and, you know, I hear his decline. Pooch is with us on the show today to share some insights as to what disaster relief cooking looks like. And, you know, in spite of all the tragedy, you know, the incredible work being done in these communities, there's a lot that goes into this. And it's, yeah, it takes your, you know, like I'm sitting here and I wrote a bunch of stuff down here that I'm reading, but the truth is it you know, it doesn't worth to read. It's so difficult to even talk about these things because we all have friends, family, colleagues, like spread across the country. Like this is something big. Pooch, how you doing, bud?
Yes, sir. Well, I can't lie and say that I'm not tired and feel my immune system kind of about to give out on me, but I'm good, man. There's a lot of passion. There's a lot of pride in what we're doing here. And, you know, and happy to be a part of something that knowing that people are really trying to make sure that these people are okay. And sadly, we don't even know if that's a status anymore. Okay, might be out the window because I'm here on day seven. And it's been a crazy wild ride, man. It's a lot of, you know, we've already been given a medal, some sort of medal. I don't even know where it is. It's lost in some bag, but they presented us a medal just because of what we've done here and what we do. But there's no time to lax in any way. It's just constantly trying to make sure that everyone's fed. And just to let everybody know that we're not feeding, you know, refugees or, and I hate to use that term, refugee, but survivors. We're not feeding any of the survivors or anyone who's needy of anything like this, such that we're in a FEMA camp, cannot disclose where we are, but we are the primary, excuse me, FEMA camp for this endeavor. We are the first. So this was actually a slow summer. Thank goodness it was a slow summer for hurricanes. And as you can see, a lot of major hurricanes, and even in the Gulf right now, that's one thing that goes in the back of everyone's head is like, where is this hurricane coming? You know, the new tropical stuff in the Gulf right now. And but so when you get into disaster relief, people were kind of picking up their stuff. You know, it's a seasonal business. And, you know, you have some fires in California and we learned that some fires in Virginia and certain things. So people, a lot of people that are handling those kind of things and feeding the people, the firefighters that are fighting the fires and all those different things out there, they're out there, they're far away, they can't make it to the Southeast. Even if they did, you know, a splinter crew off, it would take so long to get there. So, and I know I'm probably choppy, guys, but I haven't slept in. I can't even tell you how long.
Pooch, what was describe your initial reaction when you actually got up to North Carolina? Obviously the hurricane had just hit and you basically got there within what, 48 hours, right? 24 hours, something like that.
I'll start from the beginning. So in the how I can do that is I need to give a shout out to Maddie McShay, Damon Sinclair, and Maddie's wife, Georgia McShay. Like, you know, I got a phone call from Maddie McShay, who's an old chef friend of mine, who ironically we worked on disaster relief and Snowmageddon for Atlanta. And he said, look, man, like, you know, there's no pay, there's no nothing, but we're hearing rumors that things are really, really bad. And we can't even get in touch with half the people that we know up there. Because a lot of the Asheville people work in the Atlanta food and scene with the TV shows and whatnot. So it's a very tight-knit, you know, TV set catering and things like that. And you know, disaster relief kind of falls into those same things. Because if you have a food truck and you have trucks and this, that, the other, tents, all that, you kind of fall into that. But we knew that we had a lot of allies there. And it's like, look, dude, you want to come out here because we can't get anybody to come. And we really think that we're hearing that it's something really, really bad. And it touched all of us because of the fact that we're from New Orleans and New Orleans had Katrina, you know, not 20 years ago, almost to the date, you know? And so we really wanted to make it happen. As far as like getting here, I don't even remember that as of now, but we wrote at night and we came overnight. We just loaded up a convoy. I was in a big old reefer semi-truck that was, once you got to North Carolina, the roads were really horrible, especially into where we were coming in, having to drive, you know, 35, 45 miles an hour because of debris, things in the interstates, all of the above. Ironically, we took a long time to get where we were going because of roads being, you know, down and whatnot. I'm sorry, guys.
What sort of specific challenges have you faced while you're, you know, while you're doing this. Yeah, I mean, while you're trying to execute. Well, listen, we
can actually talk to all that too. We can help him out since he doesn't remember. So, I mean, we've been doing logistics.
Gotcha. Because you know, we were trying to figure out where I am. I, you know, forever I wasn't trying to even. And John, silent John, but thank you for speaking this one time, Johnny. You mentioned that it's because of wherever the tower is pinging. The only tower available is pinging, you know, 83 miles away from where I am. But we're not where they're, you know. So it's, you know, it's Katrina-esque. You know, when they say biblical and all these different things, it's Katrina-esque. Yeah, you know, so the reason we get here and there was nothing. We get to this base camp and there's nothing here. There's maybe a, you know, there's one trailer. There is for like the people who are trying to coordinate this thing. There was no tents put up yet. There was a bathroom type scenario going on. It's because all of the efforts have been already put. Number one, people were off and couldn't mobilize that quickly, because off the season. And then number two, and for sure many factors, but the number two of these factors is the fact that everyone was in Florida, the Tampa area, that area. Then they went up into the Alabama and the Georgia area where it got hit. And then they went into Tennessee and, you know, all these different things. And then last but not least is the worst one in Asheville, you know, the worst occurrence. And it's not even because of the hurricane wind forces or anything like that. There were a few tornadoes, but it's just because of the massive amount of rain that dumped on them within a, you know, 4-hour period. You know, yeah, you couldn't do anything.
Did this happen a few months ago over in Dubai? Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
oh yeah, yeah.
And it was like out of nowhere.
Yeah, just massive rainstorm.
Yeah, and again, I think they used biblical in their, you know, definition of that as well, their description of that.
Yeah, and I saw a stat, and I don't know how they come up with this. They said something like 40 trillion gallons of water went through North Carolina. And I was seeing some statistics that by the time the hurricane actually hit, it was moving at 30 miles per hour, and it dumped to 14 inches of rain in that matter of time period.
What did you? That's crazy. What did you say the variance between Katrina?
It's eye opening. I saw this on social media, and I just kind of like was like, this is ridiculous. So everyone realizes how bad Katrina was for New Orleans. Katrina was a Cat 3. It was 125 mile an hour max sustained winds. Diameter of the storm was 400 miles. The wind field was about 230 miles. That's wind field is from the center of the storm out to the where the bands are. So Helene is a Cat 4. Maximum sustained winds are 20 more miles per hour, about 145. Diameter, ready for this one, 822 miles in diameter.
Wow.
Winfield is double the size almost of what it
when
was.
When you think about that being over the water, and if it's 800, you know,
20 miles,
whatever the term is, how much momentum it's picking up from that heat of the water over that wide, you know, it's bananas how to do that, to think of that even. But it happened, we got here, but all the resources were being utilized in all these other states that were hit first, and no one expected it to be as catastrophic as it would be here in the Asheville area. So we got here, and we are kind of part of this team of people, including FEMA, the state of North Carolina, and other people who were Virginia. Shout out to Virginia, who I saw them pull in last night with some big old military vehicles. I couldn't tell you what they are, but there's every kind of vehicle here from all over many different states I probably haven't seen yet. As we're pulling up, and the momentum is starting here now on day six, that things are kind of gelling. So, you know, needless to say, we still don't have a place to sleep. You know, a lot of times we're sleeping on a floor, or we're sleeping in our car or the truck, things like that. We are piece of milling things together to try to be able to adapt to how many people we are actually feeding, and we're going to have to feed.
Yeah.
And it's an ongoing thing. It's exciting and it's amazing, yet just to be a part of it and to see how it happens, but to be four chefs, you know, in. Shout out to Maddie Morgan as well. There's another chef that's up here with us. And shout out to Victor Duran, his son Brian Duran. And they came down from Chicago, some friends of us in the industry. They came down and they showed up last night. They got in town and they're here right now, really relieving us. Them being here is allowing me to come get on the phone with you guys for a few minutes. But it's ongoing. You know, it's meals, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then basically a midnight meal, which is already plated. So we plate those so we have time to like somewhat rest. But in the middle of those things, it's never stopping because you're prepping for the next thing. One thing that we're trying to do is we're refusing to use canned goods. We're refusing to use anything. Those type of things, we would prefer to go, you know, people that are donating, donate those things to the people. We're taking pride in providing for the first responders, the police, military, fresh food, as fresh as we can do it. And just making people realize that their morale is good.
Well, you know, Pooch, I wanted to ask you that. So, you know, and I'm glad that you got fresh legs on the ground that came in last night with your pals. I mean, I'm thrilled that you're getting some help. But have you seen, you know, so all this, with all this tragedy and everything that's, it's still, you know, we're still in the midst of it. How's everybody in terms of dealing with each other? I mean, everyone must be on edge. Is it random acts of kindness or is it, you know, are there people just having to work with each other like
our
this.
Team here?
Yeah.
As far as our team, like I'm the team I'm on personally or well, within each team?
Where you are.
I mean, you've got different municipality workers and federal, all these different, obviously, egos that are involved in it that, you know, there's got to be something that and attention has got to be high because they're trying to save people. You're trying to feed people. So how is everyone getting along?
We're getting along. You know, at the end of the day, we know that resources are going to get pulled from us. Everything is extremely fluid. No one has been rude to us in any way. As we in the industry know that seeing someone's face every day and being hot and sweaty and haven't bathed in 3 days and, you know, just all these variables will make, you know, us taking time bombs with our own brethren in this industry. So yeah, of course, sometimes it gets testy in between what we're trying to get done to accomplish things because these are tall tasks. These are tall feats. You know, they'll come at us and say, this is a certain number that we think we're going to need you to feed. And then minutes before it happens, they're adding 200 to 300 people.
Or more.
You know, so or more. Yeah. You know, and who's counting? You know, I'm not sitting there counting how many people. It's just a lot of people.
This may seem like a silly question, but what are you feeding these people? What is being served?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture raised, all natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
It's we're trying to provide a protein. Lots of pasta has been donated, so we're doing pasta. And the crazy thing is you know, the proteins such as meatballs and chicken, you know, your typical chickens. We do, let's see, pork. We roasted some pork butts. We had some, a lot of people donated some briskets, things like that. You know, things that kind of, we wanted things to boost morale as well when we were getting people to send us some stuff. And then now some broadliners have decided that they might come drop some reefer truck off for us, those things. I'd like to, you know, call to action, anyone listening, anyone in the industry. I can't tell you that you can come out here and come donate your time. Please donate your time to anyone else. But please donate if there's anything, whether it be an apron, anything like that, we could use those things. Send an email to Walk and Talk and that we can coordinate how to get that to us. But you're going back to your question, Jeff. It's a morale thing and it's a mental health thing. But I can tell you, when we come together, everyone's going to bicker, whether it be whoever it may be, especially in these stressful situations. But we all come back to the realization that we're here, and number one, we're alive, and thank God we're alive. And I feel so bad for how many numbers I don't even want to fathom or even think about or talk about how many numbers there are up there.
Right.
But also that we're here able to still do our passion. And we talk about it every night before we like wrap up. We sit there and we hold hands and we just meditate and pray and just concentrate our energy to have a good day the next day. And
you know,
they're kind of getting a little choked up, guys.
So there's some resources that we can work on, and I've already reached out to Aaron Boyle over at Chow, which is Culinary Hospitality Outsource Wellness. There, it's a free service that they talk to restaurant people. I'm trying to coordinate to maybe getting some people there that can be counselors to, you know, the workers. And I'm not just talking about you guys. I'm talking about the chefs and the service industry people that have been affected by Asheville or by the hurricane.
Well, you know, Jeff, it's really crazy to think, brother, that like I don't know if there is an Asheville anymore.
Well, that's why I kind of changed my whole comment. It's the people that were in the service industry that have been decimated because of what happened of this natural disaster. There's got to be, you know, a lot of mental health issues moving forward, and forget about just losing the income or their job or their restaurant if they were or the owner of it. Think about the family members that have been unfortunately have passed away because of this. So there's multiple trauma, that levels of trauma that we're talking about with PTSD. You know, this is a long-term effect mentally that's going on. But the short-term, which is amazing, is that hot food, when you don't have the ability to make anything, that hot food, that hot meal that you're giving those first responders, that changes morale instantly. You know, just what they're going through and how they're dealing with it, coming back and having that hot meal that you're doing, that's what's worth it.
You know, I just want to say something too. Yeah, dude, I've been, you know, in the conversations that I've had with folks in describing what you're doing right now, Pooch, you know, and listen, and people like you, it's not just you, but I mean, obviously you're our friend. So I have you to talk to. I don't know any of these other folks that are out there. So I just appreciate what it is that you're doing. It took a lot of balls to do it. Like that's just a lot of guts. Because yeah, I mean, yeah, it's cooking. It's, you know, you've been chopping vegetables your whole life. But the truth is you're doing it now for a huge cause. You're doing it with, you know, with passion, with purpose. It's an amazing thing, man. So I just, you know, you respect, tons of respect to what you're doing.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you.
You know, and I want to give a big shout out because I know a lot of people. I found out today via social media, two high school friends that live in Asheville made the announcement that the New York Fire Department is actually now in Asheville helping out. So that was one that just came through. The Allstate over in South Carolina, the rental Lee, please give a call to Pooch. I told Jerry I was going to give you a shout out. They need some help. And what we need is to get a dishwasher out there, not a person, but an actual physical dish machine so that you can get that done. You know, we're looking for commodity foods. I talked to Chef Greg over at Mercy Chef. God, I love that group. He admitted to me that he is actually stretched thin. I know that one of our good friends, Gaston, is leaving with his catering company from Tampa, driving up to North Carolina as well. So there's a lot more that's going to be coming through because you got to realize 820 miles, it affected a lot of different states.
And you got to realize, like, it's you know, there's a budget for this. FEMA has a budget. I'm not saying to pay us, and we wouldn't want the money anyway. But FEMA has a budget to buy stuff. Stuff is just spread thin, man. It's all over in all these sites and every places. And so it's just hard. We, you know, we were like, I'll just go ahead and say it. You know, Cisco, drop us off just a whole reefer truck sitting there with all kinds of, we have to give you one by, you know, daily trucks, and it's minimal things on the trucks. You know, we're barely scraping by, well, rationing one onion for four different things because it's just what we got to do, you know? But I want to just elaborate a little bit more on that. Like, this reminds me so much of Katrina. And what really drove me to come here was that I didn't want the industry to have to go through what it did before. Hold on, guys.
Yeah. Look, so take a second there, Pooch. I wanted to say something about the turnaround time. You know, we know Chef Gaston real well, and, you know, shout out to him. I love that guy and what he's doing. It takes a long time. You know, it takes time to put the response effort into place because everyone, you know, in Florida, we got hit too. So the fact
Anna Maria is decimated.
The Gulf Coast is a mess. You know, I have friends that their restaurants filled to the ceiling with water. It's bad. But I do want to mention about response times. Metro shelving, you know, Pooch and I were on the Pooch and I were on the phone the other day, and it's like, Carl, man, you know, I'm like, what do you need? What I don't, there's nothing that I can physically help you with, but what do you need?
Yeah, you only eat or call.
I only eat. But he's, you know, he says, well, I'm in a tent and there's nothing in the tent. We're getting, you know, we have supplies, but everything's on the floor. And, you know, we came up with, hey, let's give AJ a call over at Metro. Do you know, like, there's already that they have, I don't know, 16 racks.
Caravan of people coming, to put up stuff for
us. They mobilized, AJ and Brianna and their team mobilized, and I'm staring at the thread. There's 15 people in X amount of states that put this together to where they're actually getting that the product is on the road already. Like the material is on the road.
Right.
And they're going to install it and do everything. And they did that fast. You know, we had the conversation and, you know, AJ's like, well, you know, look, this is going to take a minute. Like, this is not something we can do today. You know, like we have to figure this out. The next day, the plan was like, it was the next day, the plan was in place and everything was in motion. And it's amazing. I just wanted to say, cause it's important that, you know, you have to compare, you have to look at what things are. Thank God for Cisco. Thank God for the broad. Thank God for all these, anybody who's helping right now, whether, you know, we're friends, the company friends or not, I don't care. People are helping and that's amazing. And if you can mobilize quickly, you're light years ahead of the game.
So I'll give you a situation. A couple of years ago when I did work for US Foods, we were activated and we were come, you know, even under the restraints, I was going to work during a curfew and I got stopped by the police, but I also had a letter that said I was a first responder. All I was doing, guys, was cooking for my warehouse people and every restaurateur that was opening their restaurant who had never had food in the week or 2 days or whatever it was. I opened up the door to my will call and fed people. And having the ability to have that and see the faces of what people are going through and listening to the stories and just having the ability just to take a second and say, hey, breathe, come on in and have something to eat. That's huge. But for the broadliners, and I know US Foods quite well. I know both the Charlotte warehouse, and I also know the South Carolina warehouse very well. So Todd Hansen, who happens to be the president of that single warehouse over there in South Carolina, you guys, I know you have shrink. I know you can donate stuff. So I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, please get in touch with the Walk and Talk. I know somebody that lives 18.3 miles away. I know that he will be back up there in Friday from being down here in Tampa. I hope to God that he can, you know, mobilize and get more people out to help Pooch and the team out there and get them food. But the realization is that things happen, and when for humanity to come together as quickly as it does, that's what's the most important thing. It's not about politics. It's not about anything else. It's about getting people fed and getting people what they need and having the common courage to do things that's going above and beyond. And that's what we do. I mean,
Go ahead. I was going to say that things are moving forward, and they're moving forward in a great way now with, like, you know, things are very streamlined in logistics of how things are working here now. Or basically this thing is becoming a full-fledged, like, actual engine. It's just amazing to watch and see how the logistics works and all this, from propane to gasoline to ice to water to, you know, but we've done this all over the world, you know? So it's happening now. It's sad that it is late. It's very Katrina-esque, where it's like, where is everybody? It's starting to happen. Things are working positive now. But my biggest thing is what drives me, but also breaks me down sometimes, but it drives me as well, is that we have to be here for the chefs of Asheville, for the chefs of any town of devastation, but for this industry, for us to be an industry podcast and everyone who listens to us, you know, we have to be here for those chefs. We have to be here because it was a brutal uphill battle in New Orleans. And of course you had your big, big, huge names that had the money to come back. But how many of, we all know, that, man, a lot of people, and especially with this economy, everybody was robbing Peter to pay Paul and just streamlining just to stay alive and survive. And now all those people have nothing. And I don't, and it's sad to say that a lot of them might not even be there, guys. You know, so, you know, we're hearing that, you know, it's people went to sleep thinking it was going to be a, you know, it's going to be a heavy rain, you know, whatever. It's not, and landslides happen. So you basically, you know, that you can't really survive that. So
I'll be honest.
It's going to take a long time for that industry to come back.
I'll be honest. My buddy came down on Sunday morning and didn't have self service, obviously, until he got down here. And his son finally got a hold of him. He hadn't heard from his son since Friday. So imagine being a parent going through this storm, and he's in Vail. His son's in Canton, which was decimated. And his son's first reaction was, "Dad, I thought you were going to come for me." And he said, "I had no idea where you were." So these stories, you're going to start hearing a lot more
of. Oh yeah, man! It's crazy to see when I've talked to some people and they're just like, "Well, I mean, we don't even know what's going on. Like, we don't even. It's like, is this a lie? Is it false? You know, because you're not really hearing a lot about it on the media. You are kind of now, but not that we have a lot of time to look at the media. But you don't really, you weren't here really hearing about it. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that this is something that's a civil engineering conundrum that no one would ever expect to ever happen. And it's proving now that maybe we aren't up to par with our civil engineering, because, you know, we've heard the term over the last 10 years, 100-year storm. Well, how many 100-year storms have we had in the last 10 years? It seems like it's an every 2-year storm or 3-year storm.
Actually, it's 5 years.
Putting this kind of rain on the United States. And I'm not trying to get into all the political global warming stuff like that. It's just a fact that it is happening and it's ruining people's lives. And as we get into the new age of, you know, there was no, with AI, there was none of these things back when we were in Katrina and all these different things. And what I worry about the industry now is that these people have lost everything. And when you're in a 21st century now, where when they're going to rebuild, they're going to rebuild bigger, better. You know, obviously it was a great aesthetically pleasing and a great place for people to visit. It was a very much a tourist town. It was a funky kind of hip town, had New Orleans vibes to it in the mountains. You know, it was really cool and it was a fun place to be. And now to think about it, it's just like, well, when people are going to come in there, there's going to be a lot of federal dollars, but there's going to be a lot of big money people trying to. Guys, we're talking about starting a new canvas, like from the ground up. So, I mean, it's not just like, oh, we can take over that building and renovate it and modernize it. There's no, everything is going to be modern, from the fiber optics in the ground to the plumbing to the first brick or first piece of concrete. Like every single thing that's going to be built from this point on is going to be state of the art and new beyond our wildest dreams. But where's the chef in that? Everything right. is computerized. Everything. Where is the chef? Where, you know, it's great to think of all these major cities in the world that have all these train rails and all these different things like that, and this famous stuff, and robots and all this. But, you know, I know I'm talking kind of delirious, guys, but I mean, that's what we talk about at night. It's just like, where's the chef in all this thing? When they're going to build from the ground up, nobody's ever going to think about the chef or the arts. Like, the Asheville was known for its art. It was known for that. And so that's what I want to mobilize people to be passionate about in before going to be a part of something that's going to be a money-making thing, because obviously this is the new gold rush now. Everyone's going to come here and try to get contracts to rebuild, do all these different things. But it's keep in mind that there were people there who built that town to what it was and what made it was. And, you know, it's a town that my children loved. It's a town that I remember going, I fond memories of going to when I was a kid. We'd go up into the Smokies, and now it's not going to be the same, and it never will. And just like New Orleans is not the same and it never will be the same, but New Orleans was still there. It wasn't built from the ground back from the ground up, because it was just water staying there. Stagnant. This is mud landslides and houses on top of houses on top of houses on top of buildings on top of 18 wheelers. I mean, if you see some of the stuff that I've seen, these pictures from people's phones here, it's just like, how did that happen? Like, it was almost like a Marvel movie where one, you know, a superpower where they can throw an 18 wheeler truck over here and throw 18 wheeler just with their like with the flash of their hands. I mean, it's just like, looks like somebody did that, but it was active nature that did that. And it's just, it's something to process. But, you know, I just, the call to action that I have for anybody is like, keep the arts, keep what made that city alive, alive. And it's what I hate about New Orleans now. Love my town, love being from there, but it's not what it was because nobody gives a crap about what it was. Everybody's trying to make, well, here's the new way, the better way. Well, that New Orleans was never about the new way, the better way. It was laissez-faire. It was about being passionate about jazz, arts, foods, flavors, easy. All of the above. The Big Easy. And Asheville was a very much that. And I have fear that that's what's going to happen. So all our listeners out there everywhere, you know, find a chef that's from Asheville, write them a card, write them a letter, do whatever it is, and pray for the ones who probably aren't there, the ones who've lost family, and the ones who lost everything. Because as a kid who wanted to be a chef, I feel for these people.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Well, but just being from the restaurant industry and going through Katrina yourself, I mean, I went through Hurricane Andrew. And I know these guys sitting across from me definitely did too. And I drove down to help my family who obviously lost everything because they moved from Coral Gables down to Kendall when Andrew hit. And knowing what, you know, it took 10 years for Homestead to come back. And what I don't know what that's going to look like for Asheville. Because that was mostly, I mean, that was a small hurricane, but he was damn well powerful hurricane, but nothing compared to this.
Well, look,
no,
let me just say this. The message is simple. You know, as we kind of go forward together, we're stronger in times of crisis. It's the little acts of kindness that create the ripple effect in the community. And the truth is we shouldn't be waiting for the next disaster to hit. We need to build that spirit of support and connection every day, because the reality is we don't know when it's going to be needed and when.
You know, the biggest thing, I had a member from Palm Beach, Art Ritt. He's one of the oldest members, the longest member, 52 years, 53 years with the American Culinary Federation. He wanted to do something where he got reefer trucks that were retrofitted as a disaster relief truck. And I know he's probably going, why are we not doing this? This is the perfect opportunity. And it, you know, logistically, think about it. It, like Chef Pooch has been saying, it's seasonal. It's, you're waiting for that national, unfortunately, you're waiting for that natural disaster to happen so that you can be mobilized to get there what you need to do. Mercy Chefs and all those other companies that are doing stuff like this, think about the logistics they have to go through and the manpower that they have to gear up for when this, something like this happens.
Hey, Pooch,
I know. Think about the fact that, let me say this because it was what I was trying to say before, but Jeff kind of tied right into that. But think about the fact that all these resources are where they think things are going to happen, the Gulf Coast. Nobody expected this to happen here because it was just some rain.
Right. Well,
you know, so
their homes are not built like Miami or Florida homes. They're not built like Louisiana homes because they don't go through that stuff like we do. You know, so there's a different, like most of those homes, like I know John just posted or looked at the picture of Chimney Rock and how that one street was like, it had some houses on the left and the next thing, you know, they're gone. They weren't, you know, CBS block houses. I can tell you that much. Most of that destruction was mostly wood, but that's what nobody thought. Well, we don't have to worry about that because there's not going to be a hurricane hit. And then the, you know, Asheville, which is how many miles from the coast? I mean, we're 83 miles from
far
from where you are right now to Asheville is something like 83 miles, I think I saw. So it's got to be over 100 and something miles.
I don't know. Look, we've been through in Florida, you know, we're older gentlemen. We've been through a lot of hurricanes.
Since 1979, Hurricane David.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm maybe 20 miles or so from water. And I look at that and go, you know what, 20 mile, I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm not really worried about a direct hit, you know, per se. And this is, you know, 15, 20 hurricanes that, you know, we've been through. So we have a good bearing on what this is supposed to feel like or be. This was so different because people were getting, people were, as Jeff said earlier, how wide the span of this storm, it stretched. This thing was offshore. Offshore.
Yeah, while it was still, yeah.
And the Florida coast got Naples. Just murdered.
Naples got flooded.
Everybody got flooded. The whole West Coast, Gulf Coast got smashed. And then, you know, obviously go straight up the gut into passes Tallahassee, go straight into, you know. But I tell you, it didn't feel normal. This was the most abnormal thing I've ever seen in terms of a hurricane.
I unfortunately think this is going to become the new norm.
Well, like I said earlier, this reminds me of what happened in Dubai several months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we all forgot about that already too, but it was just like really out of nowhere. Doesn't really make any sense.
Las Vegas too. Remember Las Vegas got flooded again. Mm. And I was there for that.
And these are all places that, you know, you are modern civil engineering, you know, especially Dubai. You know, and they're factoring in all these things when they're building these huge buildings and all this other stuff, but they don't factor in, you know, global warming or flooding or any of these things that are caused, whatever it is that's causing the water to get so hot to create these huge storms that are never in history recorded stuff, you know?
40 trillion gallons of water. Who goes?
That's what it was dumped?
Yeah, that's what they said in North Carolina between, was it four or four?
And that's just North Carolina.
40? Yeah.
The western part of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not even the whole North Carolina. And, you know, and we're hearing that there's a lot of people in Kentucky too. So, you know, please, everyone help out everybody. Everyone help out everybody. But, you know, these in New Orleans, we had flood insurance. We had hurricane insurance. We had insurance for insurance for insurance because it's what status quo. It's what we know living there. These people had nothing insurance-wise because they weren't living in a flood zone. They weren't living in any of these things that. Now, how do you pick up the pieces? And it could be a conundrum like it was in New Orleans with FEMA dollars and the federal government giving money there. But it also could be, you know, a positive thing because we do have a presidential election in a couple of days. And I'm sure these people are going to have to be addressed with this task. And this could be their legacy, whoever it may be, whatever side you want it to be. This is probably going to be their legacy. And like, you know, this could be the thing that brings back the economy. This could be in such a bad way. And it's so process it like this, but if we can make it positive and we could make this not about building it to be a moneymaker, a town in the mountains that's it's all where rich people go flock now. And it's a playground. Like if we can bring it back to early, what it was with all those tax dollars, it could really spark something to the normal person, not the rich people, and bring back what Asheville was to, you know, this was our Swiss house of the South. You know, you go to Swiss house and you go be these high peaks and go do all these different, you know, in beautiful scenery and just watching the leaves change and all this other stuff. That's what Asheville was to us in New Orleans or to the people in the South. It was the place that you could go not too far away and get that feel of being in there. Not have to go to the Rockies, you know, you're right there nestled in the South. And what a beautiful place it was. And it's just, you know, pray about it, be about it, make sure that it is what it was.
Well, you had the Biltmore there. That's why it was like that, though. And, it's funny. I've not heard one thing about the Biltmore.
I haven't as well. I didn't even think about that.
You have? Oh, Silent John.
No, I haven't.
No, Silent John was shaking his head. He had. So, you know, he's not going to talk. So I'll find out later.
Listen, Push. Yeah, yeah. I know that you told me before. You only have a few minutes.
I'm hearing my text. Bing, bing, bing. So I'm sure, assuming that's, hopefully it's people reaching out saying they can send us some morale boosters, but it's probably them saying, let's go. But I just want to thank, and I don't want to shout out anybody. This is not some sort of paid advertisement for these people. These are people that came through with morale boosters, even if they couldn't really help in some sort of a way physically. And we're not in for any financial, we're not asking for any money from anybody. You know, people send us, well, Metro is sending us stuff to be able to complete our task. But I want to thank Clark and Hopkins. They're sending hot sauces for all the troops. They're sending peanuts and snacks, all their new stuff, popcorns, just to boost morale, just to make sure that everybody's having, you know, it's those endorphins and dopamine that when we eat sweet stuff, salty stuff, all the reasons that we love food, that's what the morale boosters are right now for us. Flossy Foods, love y'all. Appreciate y'all so much. Sending out some peanut brittle and corn dogs. I want to give a shout out to Jen Booker, Chef Jen, very close colleague. And she and Camellia Beans, shout out to Camellia Beans because they are sending beans right now. And then they're going to send a caravan of some things from New Orleans up here. Shout out to Jen Booker for coordinating all that. Everybody at Camellia Beans, Allison, Frank, all of you over there who are really making this happen and showing that the solidarity and knowing that what it takes to build the industry back, and they had to do it. And they gritted their teeth and made it happen. I want to shout out to Chefworks for they're sending us a care package of aprons, shirts, things that we need, things that we just, you know, you think about what you need in the industry. You need a knife. You need all these other different things. You really don't think about the fact that a chef's jacket in these type of situations is truly the jacket made for this type of cooking. Aprons, things of that nature. So Chefworks is really coming through, sending us a big, huge care package. Shout out to Chiwis. Shout out to everybody else that I can't remember who has things on the way. All I get is texts with tracking numbers, and I really appreciate it, guys. I really, really, really appreciate it. So if everybody has any way to assist us, and we're not asking for anything financial, we're really just asking for anything where it may be a morale booster or something, a utensil or tool that we could utilize to feed more people efficiently, we would love to hear from you. So please contact Walk and Talk, guys.
I think Jay Gardner is going to be heading up there that way to
oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me, sir. So Jay Gardner is going to come out here, Citrus America. He's going to be serving fresh squeezed orange juice to however many people are here, however many oranges we got, we're going to squeeze them. And shout out to Citrus America for making that happen. It's really cool. It's what's kind of fun about this whole thing as well. And I don't mean fun in the fact that it's, you know, catastrophic things happen and we're having fun about it, but Walk and Talk podcast is kind of being the catalyst to be kind of that USO for the troops, for the people that are aiding in this kind of thing. And that's really, it's fun, and it drives my passion, and it gives me energy, and it helps me keep going. You know, so
I appreciate you saying that.
I appreciate y'all coordinating that.
I appreciate you saying that. And you know, when I think USO, I think singing.
I think
Bob Hope. I think comedians. And John has given me the heads up. John said he's willing to go out there and perform stand up for some comic relief.
Cue cards only.
Single puppet show.
Cue cards only.
Cue cards only. All right, Pooch man, just stay the course. Godspeed to you, brother, and appreciate everybody who's helping out with this whole thing. And if there's anything that we could do to help, kind of middle or catalyst of any sort, just hit us on Instagram at Walk and Talk Show, and we'll see what we can do if there's anything possible at all. And you know, love everybody. Appreciate it.
Oh, real quick, Troy Schiller is the gentleman that I told you about, Pooch. He's got the food truck. I'm going to follow back up with him. He's got Alto Sham bringing the food truck next week, and he has a 3-compartment sink. So I'm trying to get you as much as I can. And so if you need more, just let me know and I'll hit my network up.
All right.
Not a problem, guys. I appreciate you all so very much.
All right, Pooch, baby. Be good, man. We'll catch up on side B, brother, okay?
Gotcha. Hey, everyone who hasn't gotten my emails returned or text returned, I apologize, but I love y'all and we will make it happen sooner than later.
Excellent. All right. Everyone, John, Jefferson, we are out.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.